From the Gable Media Podcast Network and presented by Lines, this is Spaces, the podcast where we make sense of the spaces that shape society. I'm your host, Demetrius Lynch. Hello! Thanks for coming back, everybody. And if you're new here, welcome. This is episode 212, where I explain the difference between an architect, a designer, and a drafter, and why understanding that difference can completely change how you approach your project. But before we get into it, a quick reminder that you can find all of this information and more in my digital download called Before You Build. It's a strategic pre-design framework to help you avoid costly mistakes in common projects, kitchens, ADUs, additions, and small commercial tenant improvements. In it, you'll learn how to define your project scope, what construction projects actually cost in Southern California, how to assemble the right team, what project timelines to expect, and the most common and costly mistakes to avoid. There is also a budget planner and calculator to help you build a realistic starting budget in just a few clicks. You can find it now at lines.studio/store or follow the link in the show notes to check it out. Now back to today's focus. When people are planning a construction project, one of the first calls is typically to a contractor. In our next discussion, we'll dig into why that may not be your first best step, but for now, let's talk about the most misunderstood part that follows: construction documents or plans, and who will create them.
Hey, designers and curious minds! Ever wondered about the stories hiding within your building's walls? I'm Carrie Seaburn, structural engineer and host of Unstruct, the podcast that decodes and simplifies major concepts of structural design. Behind the math and physics, structural engineering simply predicts building behavior. Join me as we simplify the complex, making structural design accessible to everyone.
Nowadays, instead of measuring it via cost, we're saying, well, what about carbon, you know? We've got two levers now that we can, if an architect has an inefficient design, we can hit them with two levers, if you like.
The official casualty figure is 55,000. Everybody I talked to told me that the actual figure is at least three times as much. And I believe that. I mean, seeing what I saw, Turkish codes are good, and they have been improving, but compliance was completely lacking.
Fluent in steel, concrete, masonry, and timber design, I'll bring you leading engineers to dissect the tales behind their building structure. Whether you're an architect, contractor, engineer, or just love a good story, this podcast is for you.
Yeah, beam penetrations. That's a fun topic on this project.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Unstruct. From within your walls, hear the story behind how your building stands today.
When the conversation of plans arises, a few thoughts tend to follow. I know what I want. I just need someone to draw it. This person is way cheaper and faster. The city said they just need plans to issue the permit, so I'll go with them. Or the contractor has a guy, so everything should be covered. From the outside, plans can come from anyone who knows how to use a drafting program. An architect, designer, and drafter all sound the same. They all might produce drawings. They all might talk about layout. They all might help you visualize a project. They all might even be involved before construction begins. But they are not the same, and choosing the wrong type of help at the wrong point in the process can create confusion, delays, cost increases, permit issues, and sometimes even projects that are not aligned with what you actually need. So today I want to talk about the differences between architects, designers, and drafters. Not because one is universally better than the others, but because they serve different roles. One of the most important things I want you to take away from this episode is this. Plans are not the beginning of a project. They are the result of a series of decisions operating within a set of restrictions. Before someone can draw the right plans, they need to understand the project. What are you trying to accomplish? What is the existing condition? What is the budget? What are the zoning limits? What code requirements apply? Are you moving walls? Are you changing plumbing? Are you affecting the structure? Are you changing how the space is used? Are you adding square footage? Are you triggering accessibility requirements? Are you touching systems that require engineering? Those questions matter because a drawing that does not account for those questions may look like progress, but it may not move the project forward. Trust me, I've had my share of calls to clean up work after an owner hired the wrong person. This is where many owners get into trouble. They hire the least expensive person they can find to produce the drawings, thinking that all drawings are basically the same, but they're not. Some drawings are simply graphic representations of an idea. Some are basic plans for a simple scope that doesn't require a permit. Some are construction documents detailed enough to pull a permit. Some may or may not be coordinated with engineers and consultants. And some may or may not be detailed enough for a contractor to accurately price. The difference between these deliveries and the skill set required can have a major impact on your project. So there are three roles I want to clarify today: architect, designer, and drafter. Each can provide value, each can be appropriate in certain circumstances, but each comes with a different level of training, responsibility, authority, and risk. So let's start with the architect. An architect is a licensed professional who is legally authorized to practice architecture. That licensing matters because, despite common perception, architecture is not only about aesthetics. It is a regulated profession connected to public health, safety, and welfare. An architect's role is not simply to make a building look good or to draw what a client says they want. A good architect helps translate goals, constraints, regulations, technical requirements, health and safety of occupants, property value, and daily human needs into a coordinated path forward. That may include design, but it also includes much more than design. An architect can help define the project scope, evaluate existing conditions, analyze zoning and building code requirements, develop the overall design strategy, coordinate with engineers and consultants, prepare drawings for permits and construction, respond to plan check comments, assist during bidding or contractor selection, and observe construction to help determine whether the work is generally being completed in accordance with the documents. Depending on the project and the scope of services, an architect may be involved from the initial idea all the way through construction, and that continuity can be extremely valuable. Projects are full of decisions that build on each other. A design decision can affect structure, which affects costs, which may alter the scope, which affects the permitting process, which impacts the timeline. And at a micro scale, a single detail or systems decision can affect long-term performance and operational costs of the building. A good architect helps connect those dots. That is why I often describe architecture as a systems profession. Yes, architects design spaces, but more importantly, they help coordinate systems. The architect's value is often in seeing how those pieces affect each other before they become expensive problems. For example, let's say you want to remove a wall between your kitchen and living room. To many owners, that sounds like a simple design idea. Open the space, create better flow, let in more light, make the home better for entertaining. And that may all be true, but from an architectural perspective, we also need to ask, is the wall load-bearing? Does it support the roof? Does it help resist lateral forces during an earthquake? Are there electrical lines in it? Are there ducts? Are there plumbing lines? Will removing it affect lighting? Will it affect flooring transitions? Will it require a beam? Will that beam fit within the existing ceiling? Will it need posts? Where do those posts land? Will they affect the layout? Will the foundation need to be modified? Will a structural engineer be required? Will the city require additional documentation? That one design idea can quickly become a structural, electrical, architectural, permitting, and budget conversation. That doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. It means the greater impact of an idea needs to be understood. That's where an architect can help. The architect does not just ask, what do you want? The architect asks, what is required to achieve what you want? And that is a very different question. Now let's talk about designers. This is where things can get confusing. The word designer is very broad. There are interior designers, residential designers, kitchen and bath designers, design consultants, design build designers, and even architectural designers, which really trips people up. Some designers are extremely talented. Some have deep experience or specialize in specific project types and can be very valuable, especially when their role is clearly defined. But unlike the title architect, the term designer is often less regulated. That means the scope of what a designer can legally do may depend on the state, the jurisdiction, the project type, and the nature of the work. In California, for example, there are certain types of projects where unlicensed individuals may be allowed to prepare plans, particularly for some conventional wood frame residential work, depending on the scope and applicable laws. But there are limits. A designer who is not a licensed architect generally cannot represent themselves as such. Now, a quick way to understand their licensure status is by checking their public communication, like websites, business cards, and letterheads, for declaration of a licensed architect, not architectural designer or designer. You can also do an easy search with a state licensing board. Designers typically cannot stamp drawings themselves. And it's worth noting that some designers collaborate with licensed architects. If that's the case in your situation, it may be worth understanding that relationship and the licensee's involvement. I've had to step in to resolve some commercial projects where there was a rift between the contracted designer and the architect who stamped their drawings. The designer could not only not move the project through the building department, but lacked understanding to resolve core code issues. The owner brought me in to correct the plans and get the project across the finish line. It's important to note that designers may not be able to take legal responsibility for certain project types, and they may not be qualified or authorized to work on more complex buildings, especially commercial projects that require licensed professionals. So the issue is not whether designers are good or bad. The issue is whether their qualifications, authority, and scope match the needs of your project. For example, an interior designer may be exactly the right professional to help with finishes, fixtures, furniture, materials, lighting concepts, cabinetry coordination, color palettes, and the way a space feels and functions day to day. For a kitchen remodel, an interior designer can be incredibly helpful and even best suited in certain cases. They may help select tile, countertops, plumbing fixtures, appliances, hardware, lighting, paint, furnishings, and other details that shape the experience of the space. They may help ensure the home feels cohesive. They may understand how people actually use kitchens, bathrooms, living spaces, and workspaces. They may bring a level of refinement and material coordination that improves the final result tremendously. But if that kitchen remodel involves removing walls, relocating plumbing, modifying structure, changing windows, expanding the footprint, or navigating complicated permitting, then the project may need architectural and engineering coordination as well. Again, this does not diminish the designer's value, but clarify the role. The interior designer may be focused on the interior experience. The architect may be focused on the overall design, code, structure, permitting, documentation, and coordination. The contractor executes the work, and the engineer handles specific technical systems. When the team is well aligned, each person brings value. The problem happens when one role is expected to cover everything without the qualifications, authority, or support to do it properly. That is when projects can become risky. There are also building designers who may focus on layouts, residential plans, additions, or conceptual design for certain project types. Some are very skilled, have decades of experience, and may produce effective drawing sets for limited residential projects. But the same principle applies. You need to understand what they are providing. Are they only producing concept plans? Are they preparing permit drawings? Are they coordinating engineering? Are they reviewing zoning requirements? Are they handling plan check corrections? Are they involved during construction? Are they insured? Do they understand the jurisdiction? Do they know when a licensed architect or engineer is required? And do they have experience with your specific project type? Without being a regulated profession, the title itself does not answer those questions. So you have to ask. Now let's talk about drafters. A drafter is typically someone who prepares drawings based on information provided by others. That can be a valuable role. Drafters can be skilled at producing technical drawings, documenting existing conditions, translating sketches into digital files, or supporting an architect, designer, engineer, or contractor. But drafting is not the same as design, and drafting is definitely not the same as architecture. A drafter may be able to draw what you describe, but that does not necessarily mean that they are evaluating whether the idea is code compliant, structurally feasible, properly coordinated, suitable for permitting, aligns with your budget, or is buildable in the way that you expect. That distinction is important because, as I mentioned, many owners think, I already know what I want, I just need someone to draw it. Sometimes that's true, but often it's not. You may know the outcome of what you want, an open kitchen, bigger bathroom, an ADU, a home office, a new storefront, or a more functional layout. But knowing the outcome of what you want is not the same as knowing what the project requires. That is why, quote, just drawing it can become problematic. If the drafter is only documenting your instructions, important questions may never get asked. Is the scope realistic? Does the layout comply with code? Do the drawings meet city standards? Does the project require engineering? Are there setbacks on the property? Are there easements on the property? Are there accessibility requirements? Is the existing building suitable for the proposed change? Are the drawings detailed enough for a contractor to price accurately? A drafter may not be responsible for answering those questions. And if no one else is answering those questions, the owner may not realize there is a problem until later, maybe during plan check or bidding, or even worse, during construction. And by then, changes become exponentially more expensive. Not only for delays, but the design work typically has to be completely redone in the right way. That can even lead to change in scope. And if construction has started, that means demo and rework there as well. This is one of the biggest misconceptions in the design and construction process. Because design is not seen as a physical product per se, owners often treat it as a nuisance cost and aim to get drawings as quickly and inexpensively as possible. But the goal should be to get the right drawings for the right purpose at the right time. A quick, cheap drawing that does not answer the necessary questions may not save you money. To the contrary, it may cost you more. It may simply move confusion downstream and compound costs. Construction is a very expensive place to discover confusion. Now, I want to be clear here. I'm not saying that every project needs a full architectural engagement. That would not be true. A very small cosmetic project may not require an architect. If you are repainting, replacing finishes, swapping fixtures in the same location, or making limited updates that do not affect structure, layout, systems, or permitting, you may not need architectural services. A good contractor, interior designer, or specialized trade professional may be enough. If you're replacing cabinets in the same location and not moving walls, plumbing, or electrical in a major way, a kitchen designer or cabinet professional may be able to help you through much of the process. If you are documenting a simple existing condition or preparing basic drawings under the guidance of another professional, a drafter may be appropriate. The point is not to overcomplicate simple projects. The point is to avoid under-supporting complex ones. That's the balance. A simple project should not be burdened with unnecessary process, but a complex project should not be treated like a simple one. Now let's walk through a few practical examples. Let's say you're planning a cosmetic refresh of a bedroom. You want new paint, new flooring, new light fixtures, and maybe some furniture. That doesn't require a permit. You probably don't need an architect. An interior designer, contractor, or even direct coordination with trades may be enough. Now let's say you want to remodel a kitchen, but you're keeping the same layout, not removing walls, not relocating plumbing, and not changing the structure. You may still benefit from design help, especially for cabinetry, finishes, and lighting. A kitchen designer or interior designer may be a good fit. You may need permits depending on the work and jurisdiction, especially if electrical or plumbing is involved, but you may not need a full architectural process. Now, let's say you want to remove a wall, relocate the kitchen, add a large opening to the backyard, and create a new indoor-outdoor living area. That's a different story. Now, you're likely dealing with structure, plumbing, electrical, possibly mechanical systems, energy compliance, exterior openings, weatherproofing, and permitting. That's where an architect and engineer become much more important. And I'll expand on this in the next discussion. So again, the question is not simply who can draw this. The question is, who can help me understand what this project actually requires? That brings us to another important distinction. Drawings and the quality of those drawings can serve very different purposes. So when you're evaluating proposals from architects, designers, or drafters, ask what kind of drawings they are providing. Ask what is included, what is not included, who does the zoning and building code analysis, who coordinates engineering, who responds to plan check corrections, are construction details included, are the drawings intended for pricing, permitting, construction, or just conceptual review. Ask how they handle revisions, whether they carry insurance, what experience they have with your project type, if they are licensed, if licensing is relevant to the project, and who is responsible if the city requires more information. These are not rude questions. They are responsible questions. A good professional should be able to answer them clearly. If they can't answer them, or give vague answers, that should be a red flag for you. So, between an architect, designer, and drafter, how do you know who you need? Here's a simple way to think about it. If your project is mostly cosmetic, a designer along with a contractor or specialized trade professional may be enough. If your project involves layout changes, structural work, additions, ADUs, permitting complexity, or commercial use, you should strongly consider starting with an architect. If you already have a clear design developed by a qualified professional and simply need documentation support, a drafter may be appropriate as part of a larger team. While contractors, who typically get called first, may have the best intentions, they may not understand the challenges that can emerge from misaligned design professionals. If the project is complicated, do not try to make one underqualified person responsible for everything. Build the right team. Now, before we get out of here, I want to spend a moment on trust and fit. Because credentials matter, but fit matters too. A licensed architect may be qualified, but that does not automatically mean they are the right architect for your project. A designer may be talented, but that does not mean they are right for a complex permitting process. A drafter may be cost-effective, but that does not mean they should be responsible for design decisions. So when choosing who to work with, you should still look beyond the title. Ask yourself, do they understand my project type? Do they ask thoughtful questions? Do they explain the process clearly? Do they identify risk early? Do they communicate well? Do they know when to bring in other experts? Do they understand the local jurisdiction? Do they respect budget? Do they help me make better decisions? Do they seem like they're trying to sell me a service, or are they helping me understand the problem? That last question is important because the right professional should help you see the project more clearly, even if the answer is not always what you hope to hear. The most valuable guidance is not, yes, we can do that. It's, yes, we can do that, but here's what it's going to take. Or that may not be the best path. Or your budget and scope are not aligned yet. That kind of honesty and understanding can save you a lot of money, and it can also save you from building the wrong thing. Good design is not just about creating something impressive. It's about creating something appropriate, something that works, responds to the site, the budget, the use, the people, the code, the construction process, and the future. And that requires more than drawing. It requires judgment and experience. So here's the key takeaway. Don't start by asking who can draw this. Start by asking, what does this project require? That one shift can change everything. Because once you understand what the project requires, you can identify the right professionals. And once you identify the right professionals, you can create a better process. And a better process leads to better decisions, better documentation, better pricing, better permitting, and a better chance of a successful project. That's exactly why I created Before You Build. It's a strategic pre-design framework for homeowners, business owners, and anyone planning common projects like kitchens, ADUs, additions, and small commercial tenant improvements. Inside, I walk you through how to define your project scope, what construction projects actually cost in Southern California, how to think about soft costs, how to plan for contingency, how to assemble the right team, what timelines to expect, and the most common and costly mistakes to avoid. There is also a budget planner and calculator to help you build a realistic starting budget instead of guessing. Because if you're planning a project, the most important thing you can do is to not rush into hiring, drawings, or construction. It is to start with clarity. You can find Before You Build at lines.studio/store or follow the link in the show notes. The clearer you are about what your project requires, the easier it becomes to choose the right team. Thank you for listening in today. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode where I dive deeper into when you actually need an architect. We'll talk again on the next one. Thanks. Thanks for listening. Spaces is brought to you by Lines, my Southern California-based architecture and creative studio that provides services focused on custom homes, home renovations, creative office, and specialty retail spaces. Find out more at lines.studio. That's lines.studio. If you learned something from this episode or think it would resonate with a friend, please share it and rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It really helps others find the show. If you have a question about the built environment or just want to share whatever is on your mind, I'd love to hear from you. You can do that at lines.studio/podcasts. Looking for similar content? Spaces is a proud member of Gable Media, a digital media platform where you can find even more content like this. Visit gablemedia.com, and that's gablemedia.com. And lastly, before I go, if you want to see additional photos, videos, clips, and other content from this episode, visit lines.studio/podcasts. Talk soon.